The following program may contain material that is unsuitable for some audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Aftermath Radio should not be considered a substitute for services provided by a licensed mental health professional. Good afternoon and welcome to Aftermath Radio, brought to you live from the K-Beach radio station at Cal State Long Beach.
Wait.
Waiting.
There we go.
There. No, that's you, not me.
You're on.
I don't know. I don't hear myself. Just press up. There you go. Press all the buttons. And
I know.
I think what happened there was karma getting you back for turning off that or cutting off that love song the day before Valentine's
Day. And I was, the cues should be left down. I can only do so much.
I know. You're only one person.
I
got it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good afternoon. Welcome to Aftermath Radio, where we discuss all things psychopathic. I'm Dr. Robert Shug, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State. If you would like to speak with us, please do call us at area code 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. You can Skype us at aftermath.radio, email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com, and as always, go to our website, aftermathradio.org. Click on the radio link in the lower left-hand corner where all of the podcasts are archived for your listening enjoyment. And by the way, that was just a bold-faced lie, what I just told. Do you know why?
About the calls?
No, about the podcast. I don't have last week's on yet. I'm kind of a slacker lately.
Shame on you.
Got a lot on my plate right now.
So do I. Totally understand.
All right. So coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have Dr. Paul Babiak, author of Snakes and Suits, coming on talking about bad bosses. You have one of those? You ever had one of those, G?
Not necessarily a bad boss. I don't know. I'd rather not say on the air.
Yeah, because he's probably listening. He or she's probably listening.
I'd rather
right?
not say.
All right. And a bit of good news. Just to point out the wonderful accomplishments of my students, Gigi Brar, producer, who is also working the board today, now a contracted author.
Oh, yeah.
About that? Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty cool, right? Now, tell us about this.
Okay. So Dr. Shug has graciously agreed to work with me on an encyclopedia article for Encyclopedia of Theoretical Criminology.
Right.
And we're writing about schizophrenia and crime.
There you go. And you're going to make millions.
Oh, I wish I would make millions.
I'm going to ride your coattails to success.
Only if I made millions.
All right. So producer Chantal Fahmy, who I imagine is listening at home right now.
I hope so.
Not here today because she had to get her hair done? What was going
on? No. We have WSC, the Western Society of Criminology Conference, coming up next week. Right. So she's working on her presentation.
Priorities.
priorities. I'm here. I told her I would cover for her today, so.
Okay, well, you're doing a fine job.
Thanks.
Except for the kind of rough start we got.
I'm only one person.
And by the way, Dr. Paul Babiak already emailed me telling me that we were live from the very beginning, so.
From the very beginning? Oh, right, when I was struggling?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I'm glad that went out. That's good radio.
Always great radio.
Speaking of great radio, we got a lot to do today, but we're going to up the ante with one of our usual segments, Fact or Fiction. Gigi Brar is still on the fence about this. I feel like it's a good idea.
I think it's...
And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because it requires minimal, if not no effort on my part to prepare. And I was sitting in my office before the show today trying to figure out the first segment. And I thought, what if we took Fact or Fiction to a whole new level? And I said, you know, we do the pre-recorded bits and we've contemplated kind of going out, having one of you guys go out in the lobby and ask the folks out there, which actually the lobby crowd is growing. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
more
they got some
radio fans.
Nice furniture out there now, too. Did you notice
I wish they'd fix the furniture in here. but today we're going to up it a notch. We are going to do Factor Fiction, what would you call this, random sample? There's a fine line between random sampling and telephone harassment, and we are going to come as close to that line as we can today.
The and idea my heart beats faster and faster.
We're going to call. This has not been prearranged. A lot of what we do on the show is prearranged. We're going to call a random phone number, which Gigi will dial.
Okay.
I will ask the listener on the other end if they know what a psychopath is, and in terms of fact or fiction, you know, if they get the answer correctly, I'll give them props for that, and if they get it wrong, I will educate them in a very nice, compassionate way.
Okay.
Very non-confrontational. So you ready for this?
Do you have the number written down?
No, you make up the number. Just don't dial like a police station or a, I don't know, bank.
Okay.
Just see, not. Yeah, you don't have to dial. You don't have to dial one. I don't think you have to dial one.
Yeah, I just realized that.
It's great radio. Why don't you put it on the air right now?
It's not going through.
It's not? Here comes Dominic to help us out. Anyway, as I'm stalling for time.
Technical difficulty.
Dominic, are you setting up the phone for us?
Yeah.
There you go. See, every once in a while.
Great radio, right?
I would talk about the Twitter account right now, but that's not up and running either. Okay, go ahead, Dom.
Nope.
No? All right. Let me try one more thing.
I got the Twitter for you. Go ahead and talk about the Twitter if you like.
Oh, speaking of Twitter, which is up and running.
Twitter's up and running? How do they Twitter us?
They tweet us at Aftermath Radio, all one word. So please follow us. And once we get it up and running on this computer, we'll go ahead and tweet out from K Beach's.
Is that your job today or mine?
That's probably mine.
Okay. Why don't you try calling now? I switched the lines around.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
Are we trying this one more time?
There it's on the end. Excellent. It's kind of loud, though. Okay. Very good. I don't know if that's working so well either, G.
Nope. Definitely not working for us today.
All right. Well, then, let's see. What does that leave me with? We could call Chantel.
Or Brian.
Or Brian. Brian Frederick?
Yeah.
Did you hear the good news about Brian Frederick?
No.
Oh, I don't want to give that away, though, because it's really good news.
What is it about Kent?
Might be.
Okay.
Might be.
I'll have to.
But if we can't call out, call Chant and have her call us right now. How about that? And I'll fill time. We're also on Facebook, right?
Yes.
So what's that about?
Facebook, our page is in its preliminary stages.
Is that my fault?
Yes. So we'll give you more details about that once we get it fully up there and running. And in the meantime, or once we do, definitely go on there and like our page so we can gain more.
You know, you don't have to worry about calling. I think we're coming up to a commercial pretty quick.
I can
fill 2 minutes if I need to. I'm pretty long-winded. So with the Facebook, we want folks to like us.
Like our Facebook page. And with our Twitter, we want them to follow us.
Okay, good. That helps us build the following.
Yes.
Which the station managers here at K Beach really want us to do.
And it's another way to get in touch with us.
Right.
So you can always message us on Twitter as well if people don't know.
Now, if it's like, say, 3 in the morning on a Wednesday, are you going to tweet back to the person who tweets or Facebook messages you?
No.
So it's not like a 24/7 operation?
No. It'll be there and I'll get to it when we get to it. But I don't have it linked to my phone where I'll constantly be checking.
Gigi, I think
life should revolve around Aftermath Radio. Dominic's nodding yes, it should. I think I have a lot of
I think I'm questioning your commitment to the show is what I'm doing.
I'm here.
It's true. I heard Chantel's not here today because they caught her eating in here last week.
Oh,
and so
I don't,
they had her terminated.
I don't know.
Is that true, Dominic?
Maybe she's scared. But, all right. We should go to commercial.
Yeah, this is we've put the listeners through enough torture.
All right, sorry guys.
Aftermath Radio, we'll be right back after this. See you on K Beach.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob.
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shugg Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
Aftermath Radio.
Aftermath Radio.
back. Aftermath Radio, Dr. Robert Shug, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State in the LBC. Yo! That's gangsta talk, in case you didn't know. Gigi's giving me the look. If you want to call us, 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. Skype us at aftermath.radio. Email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. I do have a email right now, but I want to get to the caller first. Okay, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I think I hear. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, now caller, hallelujah, right? I can't remember, are we using your real name or a secret identity?
No, you're using my real name.
Okay, this is Dory then. And are we letting people know where you live, or are you in some undisclosed location?
No, I am in Florida. In the beautiful, warm Florida.
Where all the psychopaths live.
Exactly. Very interesting state.
Okay, now just full disclosure, I finally got a hold of Dory about what, like 3 hours ago, and I begged her because I was supposed to call her before the weekend, and I flaked. I'm sorry, Dory. I wanted to thank you so much for giving up your schedule to be on the show tonight.
Oh, no problem. It's my pleasure. It's always nice talking to you and hearing your voice and how you actually provide this fantastic service with the radio.
Oh, it's like a little mini commercial there from Dory. I like that. All right. So really quickly then, Dory, can you just briefly tell everybody once, and you've been on the show several times before, but just briefly summarize your experience with someone you believe to be a psychopath.
I'm sure I have met the significant other, or I thought that was a significant other, and I like fell in love with this guy, and he took me for a ride of my life. And when I finally woke up, I found out that this person was a psychopath. But he, you know, he took me through such a ride that I was convinced at some point that it was something seriously wrong with me. And then I had a professional coming and telling me, no, you are actually living with a criminal.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that criminal is the one who is sitting behind bars. Well, it's not. Criminal is actually, what, 1% of the
something
whole population
like that.
That walks around and takes advantage of us.
Right, right. So you have a lot of experience in this area, and definitely experience I think a lot of folks need to hear and might be able to take something from. And today you said you wanted to talk a little bit about self-denial.
I did say that.
Did you change your mind? Fantastic.
You called me 3 hours before, and I thought about this, and I thought about this, and I've got a better piece, I thought, because if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Because I can talk about self-denial, but I've got something more interesting. Because through this experience of, riding that roller coaster and finally, you know, safely landing on the ground, you're going to ask yourself, like myself, a lot of questions. Why? Why did I do this? Why did I didn't do something? You know, how did I allow for this to happen? And you're examining yourself. You're starting to examine the person who took you for the ride. And then you start looking around for the society at large and ask yourself a lot of questions. And I'm going to try to be brief. But, you know, I can't be brief, so you can stop me anytime.
No, I will.
I went to see this movie. I don't know if you guys ever went to see this movie, but I highly recommend. The movie was a suspense movie, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, yeah, I saw that over the holidays. Yeah, loved it.
Yeah, so you have seen it. Do you remember the scene when the journalist slash detective is walking into the house of a suspect? He actually walks into the house. He knows that there is proof that the suspect is the actual criminal. He walks out of the house really safely, walks out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
He has plenty of time to run.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going.
And the guy arrives, right? And then the guy arrives back, and he asks him this question. And I actually did a little research to get that question because this is very interesting, I think. It's an interesting how... Because this is obviously somebody who has at least a psychopathic traits.
Mm-hmm.
So how those people know us, as normal people or slash normal people. But anyway, so his question is this. The suspect is asking the journalist, Michael. So let me ask you something. why don't people don't trust their instincts?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, they sense something is wrong. Someone is walking too close behind them. And he says, you knew something was wrong, but you came back into the house. Did I force you? Did I drag you in? No. All I had to do was offer you a drink. And it's hard to believe that fear of offending me is stronger than the fear of pain. But you know what? It is.
It sounds like you memorized that whole scene, Dory, and that disturbs me a little. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It was very well done. But you're right. Yeah, he had the opportunity, and I don't want to give away the whole movie, but he had the opportunity to get away, yet he, for some reason, chose not to. And you're sort of making the analogy with perhaps the events that transpired in your life?
Well, it transpires in my... If that didn't transpire in my life, I would not have been a victim, because at some point, subconsciously or not, we know... All of those who have been in the presence of the psychopath, or who are still in the presence of the psychopath, they know that there's something wrong. They maybe don't know the name, and they don't know which button to push, but they know that this is not right, they know it's dangerous, and yet they choose to go back.
Do you remember that moment in your life when you made that choice to go back, even knowing in your gut that you shouldn't?
Sure.
Can you describe that moment?
Actually, it's not one moment. You know, I was doing it almost on a daily basis from the moment that I found, you know, that I've learned there was something wrong, but yet I didn't know there was anything to do with the psychopathy.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew there was something wrong, and I knew that this is wrong for me, yet I was afraid to face the consequences of my actions of confronting it or running away from it.
Mm-hmm.
and to the safety. And so instead of being safe, I'm walking back into the mind, and I'm walking on the eggshells, you know, through the land of mind, knowing that I'm putting myself in danger. And yet this place at that moment is more comfortable for me than standing behind the yellow line and going somewhere where it's safe. And I'm still baffled why I did this. I hope I would never, ever find myself in a situation that I will do it again. But it's easy to say that I would never do it again when you're not emotionally attached to somebody.
And then, Dory, just briefly, can you outline to the listeners sort of the extent of the damage that this guy caused in your life?
Oh, sure. I am... actually, I ended up in the emergency room because I was suicidal. I have been seen by a psychologist / psychiatrist for... a week or so in that hospital, although they were referring my stay because I've lost my husband, but that was a totally separate, separate reason. But anyways, I have been financially, and I am still financially suffering. I have loads and loads of debt because I have basically supported a true psychopath who is also a parasite, and who was living off of me.
Yeah.
The damage is, you know, emotional, the damage is financial, the damage is psychological. But if it wasn't for this damage, I wouldn't have been talking to you today, and I wouldn't have been part of this fantastic project and our organization. So... I think the art is of turning everything what was bad into something good and trying to figure out the puzzle. That's our psychology.
Right. If you weren't here today, then it would be very quiet right now and very bad radio. So.
Well, thank you.
All right, we got a few minutes left then, Dory. I kind of interrupted you there. Was there somewhere else you wanted to go with this thought?
Yes, maybe I can just add one thing to those who can identify themselves with what I'm saying, because maybe they were in the situation, or maybe they're in the situation right now. There is this fantastic saying, and I cannot quote you directly and correctly, but this is the essence of it is this, and this is Einstein, so, you know, the genius.
Easy now.
who said that this world is a bad place, not because of the bad people, but because of the rest of us who don't do anything about it. Mm. So, you know, I want to do something about it. I don't want to be sitting in the court and let the criminal walk away because I am afraid to walk that line of safety or naming somebody who they really are.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good thought, Dory. That's very profound. Was that Einstein that said that?
Einstein did. I think it was Einstein. Oh, my gosh.
For our purposes, it will be Einstein.
Well, you know what? If I'm wrong, I will correct myself, and then you will have a chance to correct that next week.
If you're wrong, you need to write each and every listener a personal email and apologize.
Okay, well, but you know, if I am wrong, then Einstein should be grateful that this is...
you just boosted his career.
Because this is a really good talk.
His reputation was hurting for a while there, but with this, that should put him right over the top again. And then, actually, Dory, since I got you on the phone, just on a related note, you being in Florida, and I don't want to get into this necessarily today, but the whole Casey Anthony thing, I know you expressed an interest when you and I had another conversation. I'm just sort of thinking out loud right now. Maybe we can have you back on sometime soon and kind of get your take on sort of the coverage that you saw in Florida living there when this all happened, and, you know, maybe talk psychopathy maybe as it relates to Casey Anthony, because I think you being there and having this interest in it, you know, probably have a lot more information. You're probably privy to a lot more than we have access to out here.
Oh, sure. That would be good, because this is the classical case. And, you know, I unfortunately, I have this feeling that we are not done with Casey Anthony. We will hear
no,
from her.
Of course
her
not. Yep.
Sooner or later.
Reality
so.
TV, here she comes, right?
Yes. Exactly.
All right, Dory, we're going to have to let you go. I wanted to thank you so much for coming on again, especially on short notice.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I do apologize for changing the subject so fast on you.
And I had the whole studio decorated for self-denial, and I was wearing my self-denial t-shirt, and now that's all. I'm just kidding, by the way. All right,
well,
Dory.
Congratulations for being a daddy again.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. All right, we'll talk to you real soon.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. Aftermath Radio, we'll be right back here on K-Beach.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shug Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
Why are you making that weird gesture?
I'm trying to make sure that we're not having any more technical difficulties.
Of course not. We got the wheels back on this wagon now. Gene, come on. Aftermath Radio, we're back. Dr. Robert Shug. Yeah, if you'd like to speak with us, here, go 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. Skype us at aftermath.radio. Email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. And as always, check out our website, aftermathradio.org, where all of our podcasts are archived for your listening entertainment. And we're starting the Twitter. What's the Twitter sound effect? Go ahead and play that for us. I want to see if it works. So from now on, when we get tweets, that will be the sound effect. However, for some reason today, the Twitter is not working. Yes. Yeah. You know, we're really surviving in the show on just raw talent today. The technology is failing us right and left. Right?
Yeah, it is. But we're trying to work with it.
Right.
We have.
Speaking of absolute raw talent, we have on the line Dr. Paul Babeck. Is Paul there?
I am. Hi.
You're coming in loud and clear today, Paul. That's great.
All right.
Let me get the introductions out of the way. Dr. Paul Babiak, an industrial and organizational psychologist in private practice in New York. Dr. Babiak coaches and consults to executives and organizations on leadership development issues. He's the author with Robert Hare of the book Snakes in Suits: When Psychopaths Go to Work. He has also authored several scientific papers and book chapters and speaks about the corporate psychopath to audiences around the world. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you very much. And I want to start by congratulating you and your wife for the beautiful addition to this work.
Thank you very much. And the paternity test came back positive, so it's all official now.
There you go.
And she's probably listening right now and going to kill me. All right. Thank you for that, though. I appreciate that.
Sure.
And today the topic is psychopath or just bad bosses.
Right.
And now you've as I said in the intro, you've talked about corporate psychopathy and corporate psychopaths all around the world, and folks really do come to you, I think most of all, to kind of inform them about this topic. So you must have come across these quote unquote bosses from hell, these bad bosses in your work, probably almost daily, I would imagine.
Well, I have met a few people who I would characterize as bad bosses. In my own personal life, I would say that I've worked for one, but I've also had very good bosses and at least one who I would say would be outstanding. So there's quite a variety of bosses out there. You know, I've met many people who believe that they do work for a boss from hell, as they say. And some, you know, especially the people that call me, think that they may actually be working for a psychopath. Yeah, it certainly is possible, but we know that there are far more bosses who are just not good bosses rather than psychopath bosses. In general, I'd say that bosses lie on a continuum or like a bell curve, a normal curve, as we used to say. And most bosses are in the middle, you know, good to average.
Mm-hmm.
While a few are at the top. You know, these are the guys and gals who are amazing leaders. They can get you to do anything. Those are the most perfect leaders you want to work for. And then there are a few at the bottom of the range. And these guys and gals are truly bad. In our study, which we talked about on your show a while back, Craig Newman, Bob Hare, and I, we found that about 4% of executives had psychopathic traits at or above the traditional cutoff using the PCLR. So they do exist, but not in great numbers.
Right. Okay, so now just full disclosure, I love my boss. He's a great guy. But let's just say, for example, that I didn't like my boss for whatever reason, and my kind of go-to instinct would be to say, yeah, my boss is a psychopath. So what are some of the considerations that need to be made if we're even just kind of informally in our minds conceptualizing our bosses as psychopaths?
Yeah, bosses who are truly psychopathic would have to possess a large number of the 20 traits and characteristics that we normally use to define the syndrome. However, to do a formal assessment, you know, PCLR assessment, of course, you would need to observe your boss at work, at home, out in public, and for a really long amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to use some caution before ascribing the title psychopath to a boss. But there are a few things that may provide some clues. Like, number one, a boss that lies all the time, and almost everybody in the organization is suspect. As we know, pathological lying is the hallmark of a psychopath. This doesn't include polite lies or withholding information that is confidential or proprietary. Many people don't realize that their boss is bound by some confidentiality agreements with their organization, so they cannot tell you everything,
mm-hmm.
even though they might want to.
Right.
But somebody, you know, bald-faced lying to your face, as well as telling lies about you behind your back, would raise suspicions in my mind, certainly.
Okay.
Another thing, psychopaths are known for conning and manipulating others for their own self-interest. But many people do political things at work. So you have to be careful to differentiate normal office behavior, which includes politics. It's a social organization, and politics is part of social organization, from the actual psychological manipulation of the psychopath. Now, a true psychopath would manipulate almost everyone in the organization if it suits his or her personal agenda. So it's important to assess the extent of the manipulation, as well as its effects on the individuals who are being, let's say, conned.
Mm-hmm.
A third thing would be that all bosses are expected to get others to do work. In fact, that's what they get paid for. That's their job. A boss who delegates work to you is not a sign of psychopathy, although giving all of their work to you when you have your own work to do is suspect. I would question that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, psychopaths also will take credit, of course, for the work you do, but some bosses do that as well, so this one is not as clear. In general, though, psychopaths are not interested in doing a day's work for day's pay. Instead, they want the pay without any effort on their part. So if you're doing your boss's job, you're getting no credit for it, and especially if he or she is also stabbing you in the back, then you might be working for a psychopath.
Okay. Well, what else?
Well, another one. Because psychopaths are so focused on themselves, they're really not good team players or group leaders. They're really not good leaders. They're not interested in getting others to work toward a common goal, which is the fundamental job of a leader. Actually, psychopaths do the opposite. They spend time creating conflict amongst their staff, pitting one against the other as a form of manipulation and psychological gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, none of this is productive, so it's sort of dumb, actually, and can lead to low morale and lowered productivity, which are the symptoms I look for in an organization. But by laying blame on others or lying about what goals are really achieved, they can successfully cover this up for a good long time. And we found some of that in our research. Well, at least until they get promoted or transferred to another department.
Right.
And then everybody forgets what happened in the past, right?
Exactly.
You know, that's why we found so many of these guys and gals concentrated near the top.
Right.
And then another one, that because they are not interested in the needs of their employees or the success of the company, and almost all good bosses are interested in their employees and the company, you know, psychopaths don't do the most important thing for success, which is sharing information and resources for the benefit of the team. In fact, they see information and resources as tools for exerting power and dominance over other people. So by withholding information and resources, they can simply watch others fail. And then if it suits them, they can offer a solution and save the day, like the knight in shining armor.
Right.
I'd like to play that role. So this is a pretty sophisticated form of manipulation. So if you have a very astute politician, of course, who are trained how to do this, or a psychopath, they can get away with it for a good long time.
Right, right. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so in a few minutes left, I thought we'd try something new here. We've gotten some clips from movies.
Okay.
Hollywood depictions of bosses.
Uh-huh.
And thought we might just play one here for you right now. And then on the backside of it, kind of get your take on it. Maybe you can provide us some analysis, maybe relating it to psychopathy or maybe not, you know, based on some of the stuff you just went over.
That sounds like fun. Go
okay.
ahead.
Want to play the horrible bosses one? By the way, for the Aftermath Legal Department, all this is clips brought to you by YouTube?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Mr. Harkin, can I speak to you?
Yeah, sure. What is it?
You know, for months you've been hinting that I was in line for that promotion.
And look how hard you've been working.
What, were you just lying to me?
Lying? No, Nick. Motivating. I mean, look, we're all part of the same team here. Plus, you know, I'm the one who's going to be doing all the extra work.
You know that last month you made me work so late, I missed saying goodbye to my gam-gam?
I'm sorry, what?
My grandmother. I told you that I needed to see her because she was very, very sick. You said if I left early, I'd get fired. And she died before I made it to the hospital.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I had no idea that you called your grandmother Gam. Sorry. Sorry you didn't get to say bye-bye to Gam Gam. But I needed you to stay here and work late because you were an invaluable member of this operation, and I need you in the position that you're currently in.
All right. Now, did you happen to see that movie, Paul?
I did not see that movie. I did see the clip that you're referencing, yes.
Okay. So what do you think? Kevin Spacey's character, psychopath or not, or what?
Well, I do like Kevin Spacey. first of all, he is a bad boss. definitely from this clip. But if you really listen to what he says and what's transpiring in this clip, first of all, he starts out patronizing his employee. You know, he has this grandiose sense of self. Mm-hmm. He clearly lacks empathy, and I would say he has a general emotional poverty. I mean, the inappropriate emotion, the laughter. This employee is telling him his grandmother, who I would call Nana in my world, passed away, and he wasn't there for her at the end, which is an important human thing. To want to be there, you know, with your grandmother when she passes on.
Or your Nana.
He laughs about this, which is totally inappropriate emotion. He's clearly conning and manipulative when he says, when he's challenged, he says, "Were you lying to me?" And I find that psychopaths don't say no. They'll say, "Yeah, I lied." And in this case, he said, "I motivated you." So he was essentially saying, "Yeah, I motivated you by lying."
Right.
So I thought that was a very good admission of his conning and manipulation. He clearly lacks remorse and guilt. He also doesn't accept the responsibility for having screwed this guy out of seeing his grandmother on her last day on Earth. And I think that's an important part of being human that most of us would feel badly about. And we would say, "I'm sorry, I didn't realize," you know, something like that.
Right,
but he didn't accept any responsibility for it. So we have the pathological lying, the lack of empathy, the conning, manipulation, lack of remorse or guilt. He's moving into the psychopath realm, certainly.
Very good. Okay, we're up against a commercial right now. Can you hold on for one more segment?
Sure.
Okay, great. Aftermath Radio. We'll be right back after this here on K Beach.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shug Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
Though you cannot make a conclusive diagnosis of psychopathy without adequate interview and file information, several of the behaviors reported in this case seem broadly consistent with traits and characteristics commonly associated with psychopathy. None of the comments made here should be interpreted as a formal diagnosis based on an appropriate psychopathy assessment.
We're back. Aftermath Radio. Dr. Robert Shug, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State, talking about all things psychopathic. Please do call us at 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. We have on the line, is he back?
I'm here.
You recognize that golden-voiced man you just heard?
You know, you did threaten to use different music every time you played that.
I did, didn't I?
And I'm waiting for Inagata DeVita.
Oh, all right, next week. Excellent. All right, so Dr. Babiak is talking about psychopaths or bad bosses. And some really good information here, I think, for folks who are kind of suffering, under employment, working under a bad boss, and things to consider in terms of, you know, conceptualizing the boss as a psychopath and perhaps other explanations. And what we're doing now is we're going through some clips of movies brought to you by YouTube, by the way, that do depict these sort of bad bosses. Paul is going through and sort of giving his analysis, his take on the character and sort of what psychopathic traits are represented. So the next one, which one do we do next?
Another Kevin Spacey.
Oh, let's do another Kevin Spacey. We'll do Swimming with Sharks?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go, Paul.
Buddy Eggman's office. Can you please hold?
Cream, sugar.
Sweet and low.
Come on, people. I'm late for a meeting here. Let's go, 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 go.
Excuse me, what is this? Sweet and low? No. This is not sweet and low. This is equal. Blue packet. Sweet and low is pink. See? Equal blue, sweet and low pink. It's not the same thing, is it?
Well, I think they both contain the same...
What equal contains is not my concern here. I don't care if it has fairy dust in it. What I am concerned with is detail. I asked you to go get me a packet of sweet and low. You bring me back equal. That isn't what I asked for. That isn't what I wanted. That isn't what I needed. And that isn't going to work around here.
I just thought...
You thought. Do me a favor. Shut up, listen, and learn. Look, I know that this is your first day and you don't really know how things work around here, so I will tell you. You have... no brain. No judgment calls are necessary. What you think means nothing. What you feel means nothing. You are here for me. You are here to protect my interests and to serve my needs. So while it may look like a little thing to you, when I ask for a packet of sweet and low, that's what I want.
There we go. And I will say, by the way, I think what makes these movies so entertaining, you know, is that they probably strike a chord in all of us. Like, all of us can sort of relate to this sort of boss in some fashion. So while this is a, you know, it's a dramatization, there is, it's probably, you know, built on some sort of kernel of truth, some sort of bit of reality. And then, Paul, so what do you think of this one?
Well, I'm beginning to wonder about Mr. Spacey. He's playing these parts so well. This is an interesting one because you see this a lot. This truly is a bad boss who might be a psychopath. Some of the things he's insulting. He says you have no brain. He curses, which is pretty much disallowed in most organizations. He raises his voice, and a lot of companies don't allow or like their bosses to raise their voice. And what he does that's really bad management. This is management 101. He dresses the guy down in public, so he's in front of all of his peers, and he's being, you know, torn apart. So condescension, insulting, he's pulling rank, I'm the boss, you're not. He's doing all those bad boss kinds of things. And when you look at the psychopathy side of the ledger, definitely poor behavioral control. Mm. He flew into a rage. Dresses this guy down, and then quiets and walks away. And so you see that a lot with psychopaths. He's also grandiose, obviously, when he pulls rank over this guy. He's impulsive. I mean, I don't use sweetener, and I know blue people don't like pink people, but, you know, come on. So he's being impulsive, making a mountain out of a molehill. He's callous, definitely lacks empathy for the guy.
Yeah.
He's also conning and manipulative in a very interesting way. And this is something that Doran was the first person to describe this. It's manipulation of the rest of the people in the room through indirect communication.
Mm.
So what Mr. Spacey is doing in this role, he is communicating to everybody around the subordinate his dominance. He's saying, I am the boss, and this could be you.
Right.
And so everybody is getting a message from this, not just the target of his attack. So this is classic psychopathic manipulation. This is a very good clip.
Good. Okay, we have time for the last one, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, let's do one more then, Paul.
Sure.
Where are the belts for this, Jeff? Why is no one ready?
Here. It's a tough call. They're so different.
Mmm. Something funny?
No. No, nothing's, you know, it's just the both those belts look exactly the same to me. You know, I'm still learning about this stuff and,
This stuff? Oh, okay. I see. You think this has nothing to do with you. You go to your closet and you select, I don't know, that lumpy blue sweater, for instance, because you're trying to tell the world that you take yourself too seriously to care about what you put on your back. But what you don't know is that that sweater is not just blue, it's not turquoise, it's not lapis, it's actually cerulean. And you're also blithely unaware of the fact that in 2002, Oscar de la Renta did a collection of cerulean gowns, and then I think it was Yves Saint Laurent, wasn't it, who showed cerulean military jackets? I think we need a jacket here. Mm. And then cerulean quickly showed up in the collections of 8 different designers. And then it filtered down through the department stores and then trickled on down into some tragic casual corner where you no doubt fished it out of some clearance bin. However, that blue represents millions of dollars and countless jobs. And it's sort of comical how you think that you've made a choice that exempts you from the fashion industry when in fact you're wearing a sweater that was selected for you by the people in this room from a pile of stuff.
All right, and that one was from The Devil Wears Prada.
Yes, well, I love Meryl Streep. So she's an amazing actress because she can not only display both intense and subtle emotions, she can also, in this scene in particular, express lack of emotion. And so you see that throughout this particular interaction. I mean, she comes across with an air of superiority, a sense of entitlement. She's very insulting, condescending. You know, why are you so stupid? That kind of point of view.
Right.
And so she's demonstrating, she really, of all of the three, is the most psychopathic, I believe. You know, she's callous, lack of empathy. She's glib and superficial in her dressing down of, I guess it's Anne Hathaway, mm-hmm. the actress in this. She has this definite, grandiose sense of self-worth. Shallow affect. If you watch the clip, she shows nothing in her face, which is, you know, why she's an amazing actress.
Right.
Also, she starts by expressing the proneness to boredom you see in Psychopath. You know, she's bored. She's looking through the rack of clothes and, you know, where is everybody? What's going on here? You know, I'm bored.
Right.
What she's saying. She also lacks all remorse or guilt. This is a new person on the job, right? And so she tears her down. She's essentially, and actually this is a theme through all three. They go after the weaker person, the weakest person.
Mm-hmm.
And so Anne Hathaway presents herself very meekly in this. She's also naive and innocent in this career, and because she is so weak, she becomes the immediate target of Meryl Streep. And, of course, there's manipulation again. She's manipulating everybody in the room by the last statement where she said, you know, this was picked by everybody in this room. So a classic psychopath. This is, I love that scene.
It's a great, great analysis, Paul. We're out of time, though. But one, you know, we could do this all night.
I could.
Want to thank you so much for coming on. And by the way, I don't think we plugged your book in a while. Where can folks get a hold of your book?
Well, you can go to snakesandsuits.com, and it's available, of course, in English from Amazon, but a variety of other languages for your other language-speaking audience. Amazon or Barnes & Noble, any store like that.
Perfect. Okay, and there's so much more to talk about in this issue. Maybe we'll have you back soon, and we can talk more about psychopaths and bad bosses.
Sounds great.
Okay, Paul, you have a good night.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, and that's it for us, too. Next week, we have Leanne Leadham coming on. Next week will be our official Valentine's Day episode, so I've been kind of downplaying the Valentine's Day.
So we're going to be late. Okay.
So we're gonna be late, right? But we'll have the time to reflect. So maybe we'll be in an advantageous position.
Sounds good.
In the meantime, certainly leave us voicemails at 562-912-3541, 562-912-3541. You can always Skype us at aftermath.radio, email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com, and go to our website, aftermathradio.org. Not only are our podcasts there, but there's a lot of other resources and interesting things folks who are survivors of relationships with psychopathic individuals that would really benefit them. Until next week, then, that's Gigi Bra over there. I'm Dr. Robert Shug. We have a good week. Have a happy Valentine's Day. We'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Aftermath Radio, production of the K Beach radio station at California State University, Long Beach. Produced in association with AftermathSurvivingPsychopathy.org. Your host has been Dr. Robert Shug. Your producers have been Brian Frederick, Chantel Fahmy, and Gurjeet Brar. Join us next Monday at 4 p.m. for another exciting episode. If you or someone you know has been victimized and you'd like to talk to someone, call the Cal State Long Beach Counseling and Psychological Services number at 562-985-4001.